God has given me the word today, in demand. Amen. And I have in my notes, in demand, but not for sale. Amen. So you can take either one of them titles and do whatever you want to do with it. Amen. But I thank God for this word. Like Pastor T, I thank God for last Sunday. I thank God for the move of God. I thank you. I thank him for what he's doing silently in my life, behind the scenes, working on me, talking to me, giving me words of encouragement, putting me in positions to be tested. It has to come a certain point or a certain time in your life where you can even praise God for putting you in a position to be tested. Yeah. Because if he's putting you in a position to be tested, that means he's trying to exalt you.
Yeah.
But some of us, we run from the test. We run from the test. We run from the trials. We want things to go smoothly. We are always in a position of asking God to take things away instead of asking God to let his will be done. And so I thank God for this word. I thank God for a word that he gave me last week. And he just told me, he said that I'm entering a time where my voice and my talents are going to be in high demand. And I told him, I said, Lord, I already feel like I'm tired. I'm the go-to person on my job. I'm the go-to person in the church. I'm the go-to person on my home. How can my voice be in even more demand? And how will I know? How will I know basically when enough is enough? Like, how am I going to stand in this with this word that you're telling me? And he just simply says, say yes to people's needs and no to performance. Amen. So I'm getting ready to operate in a season where I'm only going to speak to your needs. And if you're trying to get me to perform, I'm going to have to say no. Amen.
Amen.
Because I this is how I got the word that I'm getting ready to deliver to you all on today. And Lord, just Holy Ghost, just be with me. This is how I got the word. Because I need y'all to understand that Jesus is in high demand, but I am beginning to realize, like, Jesus is that thing, or he's that, and when I say thing, I'm not trying to downplay. I know that he is a person and he is alive and well. But when I say he is that thing, he is everything. Right? He is everything that you need. But he's like that thing in your life that you, like, until you get it, you didn't even realize you needed it. Like, you get that new vacuum or whatever it is, and you're like, I didn't know that cleaning was this easy until I got this new thing. Or I didn't know that, like, life could be like this. I didn't know that life could be this good. Or you try that new food and that thing, like, I didn't know that barbecue could taste like this because I've only had it this way. Right? Jesus is in such high demand. So many people need him. So many people want him. Right? But they don't realize that he's not for sale. Like, generally, when you say something is in high demand, people are going to try to do everything in their power to get it. Like, you know, they're going to make a sacrifice. Like, I need this thing so bad, I'm going to cut something in another area in my life to make sure that I can save up for X, Y, and Z, because this is what I want. I'm going to save up for that perfect thing that I want. I'm going to save up for that house. I'm going to save up for that car. I'm going to make some kind of sacrifice because this is what I want. Even in relationships, this is what I want. I'm going to make a sacrifice. I'm going to go all out for this person. I'm going to do things that I've never done before when you want something, when it's in high demand. But for some reason with Jesus, we don't do the same thing. And we can't do the same thing because Jesus is not for sale, right? People hear the name. Like, they catch wind. They hear a rumor, they catch wind that there is an answer out there, or that Jesus is good, or they catch wind of that God can do X, Y, and Z. And they like, man, I see what sister's saying. I see what the pastor's saying. I see what my brother's saying. I see what's happening in their life. Like, that's just catching wind of what God can do. And they like, man, that look good on them. I might want to try going to church. I might want to try this Jesus thing. I might want to try this walk, right? But then they try to come in into relationship. They see somebody living it out or walking it out, and they like, I want that. Like, I know, I kind of feel like that's what I'm missing, and I need that. I hope this is making sense to y'all. I'm trying to put in the words what people's heart be doing, because they know that there is a void, and they know that they need something, and they see people trying to live it out and walk it out, and they like, that might be the thing that I'm missing too. I want that. I want to walk in relationship with the Lord, but they want to walk in relationship with the Lord in a worldly way. Right. What I'm trying to explain is like the rich young ruler. Like I want, like what is like Nicodemus. Nicodemus, I want to know what you're talking about, Jesus. But like I'm too religious and I don't understand what it means to actually be born again. Or I'm the rich young ruler. I'm out here keeping the commandments, but I really don't want to give up what I all my stuff. Like, but I want to be. But I don't quite know how to do this thing. My soul is demanding what you have, but I want to buy it. But Jesus, like, you can't buy the Holy Spirit. It's not for sale. It's like Ananias and Sapphira. Like I want it, but I want to do it on my terms. But you can't buy what God is offering. Amen. He's a gift, and everything associated with Him is not for sale. God will put you in a position to test to see who you are. And I've been riding around and I'm like, man, I'm like, Lord, this walk sometimes is so lonely, because the world presents you as if it's okay to water you down or compromise who you are. That's how the world presents you, like this thing. And that's why I say, y'all, we living in the last days. I hope this is making sense to y'all. I hope y'all grab, because this might be the difference. I read that Philippians because this might be the difference between heaven and hell. So this, like, y'all, please don't take this as a blow-by Father's Day sermon. God is trying to speak to somebody's heart today. I need y'all to understand, when I read that Philippians 3:18, Paul is talking to the church at Philippi. He's talking to the church. He says, for many walk, of whom I have told you, and I not tell you weeping. This thing, this, like what I'm trying to explain to you, this truth that I am trying to explain to you, brought Paul to tears. He say, I've been trying to tell y'all that it's some people walking and they are enemies of the cross. I'm not talking about worldly people. I'm talking about church people. He was talking to the church people. They are enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God, and it said big G, whose God is their belly and whose glory is their shame, for they mind earthly things. I'm here to tell y'all that y'all cannot be a Christian and mind earthly things. You cannot love God and mammon. Y'all understand what I'm saying? God has to be in higher demand than the things of the world. Right? And it's so easy. It's so easy to compromise. And you might be saying, somebody might be saying, Pastor, I'm trying to pick up what you're putting down, but what are you talking about? Compromise. Obedience. You compromise in terms of your obedience to Christ. I was in a position, and a lot of people don't, they don't really know my testimony, or they know bits or pieces of it. You know, I would often tell y'all stories, like I would tell you the story of going into Walmart and getting a box of cereal that for free. The lady didn't scan it. Got all the way to the car, loading up the trunk, see the cereal that I didn't pay for, and I would take it back in. I would tell you the story of going through the drive-thru and they put the extra fry, or I would pull up and one of my students working there and they put the extra burger in the bag because That's Mr. Johnson. They like, they trying like, I'm gonna hook my teacher up and I take the food back in.
Yeah.
Right? The little things. Right? I was placed in a position this week to take a picture. Like, what's wrong with taking a picture? But it was a picture with a group of people that I didn't agree with what they was a part of. And so somebody asked me, are you going to take the picture? I said, no, I'm not going to take the picture. He said, I don't want to take the picture either, but I'm, because I don't agree with it, but I go, I just won't do what they're doing. I just stand in the picture, but I won't do what they're doing. That's just how I'm going to tell the story. Right? And I received it because everybody had different points in their life. But when it got time for me to take the picture, I didn't take the picture. And I began to think like, you know, because the world will have you feel like that was your opportunity to network. That was your opportunity to be a part of the crowd. That was your opportunity to say, I'm with y'all. But I can't say I'm with somebody at the sake of my soul, at the sake of obedience for what God is telling me to do. I can't, like, I'm not talking about the other person because I don't know what God is trying to tell him to do or working within his life. But for the sake of my soul, for the sake of my soul, I have to obey. And I feel that way so many times because of where 3PD is. And that's what social media, that's what the world does to you. It makes you compare yourself with other people. Right? It makes you think, well, Lord, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing right? But all I heard was the voice of them ladies last Sunday. All I heard was the voice of Minister Bullock's pastor. All I hear is the voice of my pastor. All I hear is the voice of God saying that I'm going to do it for you. All I hear is the encouragement. And I have to remind myself. I have to remind myself that the road to God is narrow. It's not wide. That the road to God is not it's not wide. Everybody ain't walking. And that there is a level, right? There is a level. There is a level. And it's been that way since the Old Testament. I thank God for Jesus that he gives us access. He gives us access to the throne. But what I need y'all to realize is that everybody does not take hold. They don't take advantage of the access that they have to God. I ain't even got to the scripture I'm going to read. I hope this making sense. 2 Kings is where I'm going to be. Chapter 5, the whole chapter. I ain't going to read every verse. I'm going to skip around. I'm going to tell the story, but I'm giving y'all the chapter so you can read it on your own and you can check to make sure that I'm in the Word. Because I always want y'all to know that I'm in the Word. I don't want you to take my word for it. But in this chapter, it's the story of a soldier, of a commander, of a general named Naaman. And Naaman was the commander of the Syrian army. The word says that he was highly respected. He was esteemed by the king of Syria because through Naaman, the Lord had given victory to the Syrian forces. So in that one verse, I need to break down something to y'all. This man had a title. He was a general. He had influence with the king of Syria, right? And the Lord, even though he was not an Israelite, the Lord had given him favor in the world to accomplish a task. I need y'all to understand that when you look out in the world and you see people with titles, when you look out in the world and they have influence with politicians or big ministers or whoever, like they have connections, let's say it that way, and it even seems like they are winning on every front. They are continuing to be exalted. This is a name. They are not necessarily a child of God. They have a title. They have influence. And it seemed like they're winning. The word says that God allowed Naaman to win. He gave Naaman victory over his own people. Right? God was using Naaman to teach his people something. Right? But the word, that first verse also says that he was a great soldier, but he suffered from a dreaded disease. I need y'all to know that it can look like people are winning, but it can still be suffering from the painful disease of sin. Right? You can be winning and look like everything going right, but until that sin gets addressed, until their sin gets addressed. The second verse says, in one of their raids, so the Syrians raided the Israelites, in one of their raids against Israel, the Syrians had carried off a little Israelite girl who became a servant of Naaman's wife. I'm like, God is showing you something, how he can use the least of these, right? This little Israelite girl who they carried off in the raid became a servant in Naaman's house, right? One day, she said to her mistress, I wish that my master could go to the prophet who lives in Samaria. He would cure him of his disease. When Naaman heard this, he went to the king and told him what the girl had said. The king said, go to the king of Israel and take this letter to him, right? So Naaman set out, taking 30 pieces of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. Y'all, please pay attention to the detail. I'm trying not to read every line, but it's good to me. Pay attention to the detail in the story. At the word of a little servant girl, God moves Naaman's heart to address his disease, right? This man is a general with a title, with influence, and even God is using him. God's hand is on him, but he is still has a problem. God says, I'm going to plant a little bitty servant girl in your midst, and I'm going to use her to influence you to get your sin problem corrected, right? When Naaman heard this, like she told him and she gave him very specific instructions. Y'all got to pay attention to this part because this is what we do. She gave him very specific instruction. She said, I wish my master could go to the prophet to get healed. Naaman went to the king. He said, King, did my little servant girl say somebody that can heal me of my leprosy? The king said, go. But he didn't say go to the prophet. He said, go to the king. Right? He sent him somewhere else. The girl said, go to the prophet. The king said, go to the other king. The king of Syria said, go to the king of Israel. Go to the king and take this letter to him. Right? You write out something. The king of Syria is trying to use his influence to help name it. Right? There are going to be people in your life who think that their influence is going to be the thing that's going to get you where you're going. That influence can't get you nowhere. That wasn't the instruction. Like sometimes you waiting on that letter of recommendation. You waiting on that phone call. You waiting on that person to vouch for you to unlock the door. Right? That ain't what you need all the time. When you're trying to get something unlocked by God, you need God to unlock that thing. God is trying to unlock that thing through a little servant girl. Yeah. Naaman thinking it's going to get unlocked through a king's letter. Y'all understand? Pick up what I'm putting down now. It's good to me, but y'all ain't talking to me. Y'all need Sister Chanel when she listens to me. Because she going to talk to you while you preach. Right? Hallelujah.
Glory, glory.
So he gives him this letter. He gives him 30,000 pieces of silver, 30,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of clothes. The letter that he took, read, he says, this letter will introduce my officer Naaman, and I want you to cure him of his disease. The king said he has influence. All I'm going to do is write a letter, and this letter is going to get you what you want. Right? This letter is going to cure. When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes in dismay and exclaimed, how can the king of Syria expect me to cure this man? Does he think that I am God with the power of life and death? It's plain that he's trying to start a quarrel with me. So one king, the king of Syria, sends a letter to the king of Israel. The king of Israel, he knows enough about God to know that I can't do what this man is asking. I can't, right? So see, I need y'all to understand that how the world thinks, how Syria thinks, and how God's people think, even when they in error, it's two totally different things. So it's three types of people in this situation. Worldly people, that's Syria, right? Then you got the king of Israel. He thinks of some political going on. He knows enough about God to know that I can't do what this man is asking me, but he's thinking politically. Yeah. And then there's the prophet. This man sold out for God. This man speaks for God. This man can move stuff. This man can heal. Right? This is the man who got a double portion from Elijah, right? So I'm trying to get y'all to understand it's worldly people, it's church people, and then it's sold out holy people.
Amen.
Right? Amen. That's what's happening. What's in demand, what Naaman needs, he needs the soul-out holy person.
Glory.
The church person can't help him. The king of Israel can't help him. And the worldly people can't help him. Even though he has favor and title and a name. But what's an actual demand is I need the Holy Ghost power. I need the power of God to heal me of this thing. I have everything. I have everything. I got the title. I'm highly respected. I got everything. Right? But I'm still carrying this thing, this disease. And I need somebody that can cure it. The king of Syria, think he's just going to write this letter, right? So when the prophet, this is at verse 8, when the prophet Elisha heard what had happened, he sent word to the king, "Why are you so upset? Send the man to me, and I will show him that there is a prophet in Israel." I love how he speaks. This is the soul-out Holy Ghost man talking to the king of Israel, right? So think. In our brain, the power, the amount of power should be reversed. You would think that the king would have the power to make something happen, not the prophet who just out there, right? You would think that the king would have the authority to make something happen and not the prophet. But during this time, the kings had gotten so far from God. I'm trying to tell y'all something. Yeah. The church has gotten so far from God that they are Christian in name only, but there is no power. Mm-hmm. But there is no power. You would think that a person, like this is how it should work, that on any given Sunday, on any one of these churches in Albany, and there's tons of them, that a person could walk into a church and their life get transformed. That they will be healed, delivered, set free. Like something change. But unless there's a prophet, unless there's an actual prophet, unless there's somebody with actual Holy Ghost power, ain't nothing gonna happen. Elijah turns to the king and say, "Why are you upset? I got it. I got it. I can do what's being asked." So Naaman went with his horses and his chariots, and that's important, y'all, because this man riding in, he put like, this would be like, I'm gonna get in the best car, and I'm gonna ride to the doctor's in Atlanta, and when they see me, they're gonna be like, ooh, he got a lot of money. They must be an important person. We gonna do everything that we can in our power to make sure, right? This is when you in trouble with the law, but you pull up and you got an entourage full of lawyers, and you just know you're going to get off because of your influence and your status. This is how Naaman is pulling up to Elijah's house. He's pulling up with chariots. He's pulling up with horses. He stops. He rolls up to the front of Elijah's house. And Elijah sends a servant out to tell him, go wash yourself 7 times in the river. He doesn't even come out the house. The doctor don't even come out. They send the nurse out. The attorney don't even come out. He sends his administrative assistant out to meet the general with the title and the letter from the king. He don't even come out. And so y'all need to understand, sometimes y'all be thinking like you just gonna roll up to the altar and get what you, and he just send little old me out. He just send little old Pastor Johnson out. He said, if you want to get in the prison, you're gonna have to humble yourself. You thinking that I'm supposed to shift and move the whole world just for you, but you won't even humble yourself or submit to local authority. Right? Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Elijah sends a servant out and goes to tell him, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River, then you will be completely cured of your disease. But Naaman left in the right saying, I thought he would at least come out and out to me and pray to his Lord, his God, and he would at least wave his hand over my disease spots and kill me. I thought he would at least touch me. I thought he would at least come out here and shake my hand and say, I'm glad to see you. What can I do for you? I thought I would at least do that. Right? I need y'all to understand this is showing how our heart works, because listen to what Naaman's servant says, right? Not only, and I'm jumping ahead of myself, so at least I thought he would come out here and shake my hand. And he specifically said, besides, aren't there other rivers There was rivers back where I was from. I could have just got in that river, and I could have just washed in them, and I could have just been cured. It's not about where you are. It's about who's talking. It's not about where you are. It's about who's talking, who's speaking, who's praying. That matters. Y'all, please understand what I'm saying. You can have a personal relationship with the Lord. You don't have to go through a man to get the job. Get to God. Jesus did that for you. But it still matters who God says, but is my servant, who is my prophet. It still matters when you know you ain't all the way right. You can be sincere and God can be working in your life, but that don't mean you got enough power to go out and cast out demons or lay hands on people, right? Or part the Red Sea. All them people were walking with Moses, but Moses was the only one that got the instructions to do this task. It's about who's talking. Naaman said, I could have just went and went somewhere else. But in that 13th verse, the 13th verse reveals the rebellion. It reveals the hardness of Naaman's heart. It says, his servant went up him and said, sir, if the prophet had told you to do something difficult, you would have done it. Now, why can't you just wash yourself, as he said, and be cured? Now, see, I'm just preaching this regular old word, but if I say we're going to do a corporate fast, or you're going to be blessed if we do X, Y, and Z, or if you just get on your knees 20 nights in a row, every night at 10 p.m., God is going to unlock a window in heaven for you. For real, Pastor? I'm going to get you, and we'll set the time to get on our knees to do that thing. But if I say something simple like, go walk and exercise so that you can live to see your children, that thing too hard. You ain't got to do all that. I ain't got to be obedient to that. Right? We'll go out, and if somebody make up something, we see a challenge on social media, or we see a new thing. Okay. Oh, I want to try that. Oh, I got to try that new thing. I got to try that. We'll do that. But his servant, understand, this is two times in a row. This is two times that this mighty man, that Naaman, first time it was the servant girl that got him to move. That got him to realize you need to do something to fix your disease. The second time is his own servant. While he ranting and raving, talking about, this man didn't even come out the house to shake my hand. His servant say, sir, he ain't asked you to do nothing hard. He said, go take a bath. Why you just can't go to, why you got to complain? Why you got to say, I don't want to go take a bath, or I could have took a bath here, or I could have did this, or I could have did it that way. That's what we do. Right? We want God to talk to us. Right? We want God to talk to us, but then when he starts to talk, why I got to do all that? Why I got to do it that way? Right? So his servant went up to him, and right, he done said, if he had told you to do something hard, you would have done it. Why you just can't do what the man say? So Naaman went down to the Jordan. He dipped himself in it seven times as Elisha had instructed, and he was completely cured. Just that easy. Just that easy. Some of y'all don't believe that serving God is just that easy. Some of y'all don't believe that obedience is just that easy. Right? You say your body feel X, Y, and Z. Stop eating all that crap. It's just that easy. It's just that easy. But it all depends on what's more in demand. Is being obedient to God more in demand? Or like I read in Philippians, giving in. We don't look at stuff like that way, giving in to our fleshly desires. That's all eating is. It's something to satisfy your flesh. That's all drugs is. That's all clothes is. That's all shoes is. It's something to satisfy. We want to look a certain way. We want to feel a certain way. That's all climbing the ladder at work is. I need something to appease my ego. I need something to post so everybody can tell me congratulations. I need to be in the picture so everybody know I'm part of the clique. That's all it is. Something to satisfy our ego, and we'll kill ourselves. We'll do all the hard things. We'll kill ourselves and do all the hard things to get there. When God is simply saying, do the easy thing. Be clean. Y'all understand that's what he's telling him to do, right? Just be clean. Like, you got a disease, be clean. It's like it's like when Jesus healing the blind. Pick up your mat and walk. It's just that easy. I speak to you, you do what I say, and you better. You've been lame your whole life. I walk past you, right? I walk past you and say, get up, pick up your mat and walk. And you walk for the first time in your life. It's just that easy. It's just that easy. Lord, I thank you. He returned. So he does it. Look at what the word says. It says he became firm and healthy like that of a child. This man got brand new skin. Y'all understand it says like that of a child because he was like, it's like this. It is symbolism of being born again. This man got dipped in the water. This man got baptized. This man obeyed the voice of the Lord and became new. He comes up out of the water. He goes, right? He goes. It says the 15th verse. He returned to a new direction. He returned to Elijah with all his men and said, now I know that there is no God but the God of Israel. So please, sir, accept the gift from me. This man got up out of the water and said, I'm new. I know that you are God. Please, sir, accept the gift from me. Why is this important? Because I need y'all to understand that when God saves you, God is not looking for you to give him a gift. He wants you. What he does for you, he ain't saving you. He ain't saving you to get something from you. He owns everything. He wants you. Elijah answered and said, by the living God whom I serve, I swear that I would not accept the gift. Naaman insisted that he accept it, but he would not. The reason that he does not accept the gift, because we'll turn around and say, yeah, we'll tell somebody, yeah, you just got to have 300 pieces of silver, 600 pieces of gold, this many outfits, and then God can do it for you too. He can do it for you too. Oh, you ain't got that? I'm sorry. This reserved for people that, like, miracles are reserved for people that walk like this. Miracles are reserved for people that go to this church. Like, the works and the power of God are reserved for these type of people. God said, I don't want your stuff. That's why Jesus, he would perform miracles and then say, don't tell nobody. Like, I don't even want all the attention. Just like, understand that I did it for you. I don't even want all the attention that my miracle working is going to do. So when I tell y'all, God say I'm in a season where my voice is going to be behind the man, that don't mean you're going to hear me talk a lot. That just mean when I speak, something going to move. It might be once a month, but it's going to move. And then when God was saying, when people catch on, they're going to want you to speak more. But I'm not going to just be speaking random stuff because you want something. He say, I can only speak it because you need it. So you're going to be coming and saying, Pastor, I want a new job. Okay, you pray. And I'm saying, I can't pray for that because you ain't do right with the last job. You ain't tied right with the last job. You didn't treat the people on the land job right. But you want me to pray and open the door for a new job? I can't pray for that. What you need to do is be obedient. It's go be clean. But it's hard, Pastor. No, it's not. You about to go to that job, work all them hours, kill yourself, don't give God no credit, right, for the very thing that you've been praying for. Now that you got it, you don't want to reverence him. God say it's time out for that. It's time out for that. He say, I don't want your gift. Right? Because when people start giving you stuff, they think that they can tell you what to do now. They think that they can talk, well, Pastor, you got to pray for me because I pay my tithe. Don't pay them. We pulled up. Pastor T said, who is this? I said, oh, that's such and such and such. She just paid her tithe. She don't even go here. She ain't even no member. Don't pay your tithe. Y'all can't tell Pastor what to do. Can't tell Pastor what to say. That's between you and the Lord what you do. Understand this. My God is in high demand.
Yes, yes, yes.
He's in high demand.
Glory, glory.
People want him. People want to serve him.
Yes.
people want to die. There's people all over this world that's willing to lay down their life for Jesus while people are here in America playing church. Why you think the Bible say a rock will lie? If you don't cry, rocks will cry for you. That's high demand. That's high demand. So Naaman said, if you won't accept my gift, then let me have 2 mule loads of earth to take home with me. Because from now on, I will not offer sacrifices or burnt offerings to any other god except the Lord. So back then, you could only worship God in the land that he was from. So since Naaman was not from there, he said, give me some dirt. Give me some land from right here so when I can take it back with me. And I make sure when I worship where I am, now I'm on holy ground. Right, so like, I understand that I can't stay right here, but I want to take, I want to be able to worship when I go back where I'm from.
Jesus.
Right? This man had been changed. How many of us would have been healed, said thank you, and then walked away and went back to doing what we were doing? But see, when you are actually healed and delivered, you can't be the same no more. I can't lie. I can't in my right mind. I believe I would go crazy trying to go back to how I used to be.
Amen.
It would kill me to try to go back to how I used to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
The internal struggle inside of me, I would feel so shame and so guilty and so like just to wrestle, like to go back. Lord, I thank you. He said, I can't worship no other way than this. So I hope that the Lord will forgive me when I accompany my king to the temple, right? So he said, you know, I got to go back and I serve another king and he serves another God. He said, but you know, I'm going, what happened to me? Even though these other people worshiping how they worship, I'm gonna take what happened to me, right? So sometimes when you've been radically changed, you have to go back to environments where other people don't serve the God that you serve.
Yeah.
But you got to take your worship with you. You can't switch up when you go back home.
Amen. Amen.
You can't switch up because you're going back to another life. When you've been changed, you got to take your worship with you. He say, Elijah, you think the God going to forgive me when I go back home and these other people worshiping other gods? You think he going to forgive me? Right? Elijah told him 19 verse, faith and hearing. Because you're just like, woo. Elijah tells him, go in peace. And the word says that Naaman left. He had only gone a short distance when Elijah's servant, Gehazi, said to him, man, my master let Naaman get away without paying a thing. He should have accepted what the Syrian offered him. By the living Lord, I will run after him and I will get something from him. Right? You have people. This man was attached to the man of God. But the miracle for him was about what he could get out of it. You got some people that are attached to men and women of God, but ministry or coming to church is only about what they can get from God. It's about what they can get by being attached, right? How can I be blessed? I'm not really concerned about, man, God just performed a miracle. And then this man is humble enough not to receive, or he just like Elijah got all that power and he don't never try to be in the forefront. And like, that don't make no sense. Do y'all understand this is the same mindset that Judas had?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is the same exact mind. Jesus out here doing all of these miracles and Judas could not understand why we ain't getting rich from it. Why we ain't coming up? Why we ain't building our followers? Why we don't have more members? Judas couldn't understand it. He couldn't understand it. Lord, I thank you. So this servant, he sets off after Naaman. When he saw Naaman running, right? When Naaman saw a man running after him, he got down from his chariot to meet him and asked. Y'all understand, I'm just preaching all through this right here. Y'all understand, this man got down off his chariot. He probably wouldn't have did that. You don't get down off your chariot. When you high lifted up, you look down on people. Y'all understand what I'm saying? This is the same man, the same position, right? But no, he gets down. He's not getting down off his chariot for Elijah. He getting down off his chariot for Elijah's servant. He has been humbled. Y'all understand, when you serve the Lord, God will bring people that sin up high down to you. And they'll open doors and they'll do stuff for you because of who you attached to. He'll humble people. He'll have these high people speaking on your behalf. Name and saw that man running. He, whoops, stop. That's Elijah's servant. Let me get down and see what he wants. That's what's happening. He gets down and asks, is something wrong? What can I do for you? Y'all understand this. I'm reading to y'all. I'm preaching to y'all how you can see the change of heart in Scripture. You can see the change of heart. No, Gehazi answered, but my master sent me to tell you. Now, here's the danger. Gehazi has all this favor because who he's attached to, but he lying. But he lying. This is not who you want to be. You have so much favor attached to you because of Jesus. Who you don't want to be is, I'm attached to Jesus, but I'm lying. But I'm lying. Gehazi is lying, my master. And then he's speaking. He's speaking on behalf of Elijah. That's what faith Christians do. We speak on behalf of God as if God said something, but we lying. But we lying. Woo, it's getting good. It's already been good. It's been good to me. Lord, I thank you. My master sent me to tell you just now that two members of the group of prophets in the hill country of Ephraim arrived, and he would like you to give them 3,000 pieces of silver and 2 changes of 5 clothing, right? This is the Israelite talking. This is the Israelite line. 23 means resurrection. This is Naaman talking. Naaman, the man asked for 3,000 pieces of silver, 2 changes of clothes. Naaman say, please take 6,000 pieces of silver. Y'all understand? This man has been changed. I'm going to give you more than you, but it's the church folks cutting up, lying, trying to get rich, where this person who has radically been changed, this is where church hurt come from. Because I've been radically changed. I've had an experience with like, you brought me here. You invited me into the church. I've had an experience with Jesus. I've given my life to the Lord. And then I start to see you act contrary to the stuff that you were preaching to me. Whew. He said, please take sense. I insist. You tied up the silver in 2 bags and gave them in 2 changes of fine clothes to 2 of his servants and sent them ahead of Gehazi. And when they reached the hill where Elijah lived, Gehazi took the 2 bags and carried them into the house. This man is shiesty. Naaman is so good. He said, as a matter of fact, I ain't even going to make you carry it back. I'm going to let my people carry it back for you. But then when we get close, like we out here doing all of this stuff. But then when we get close to God, he said, okay, now y'all, I got it from here. Y'all can go on back because I don't need Elijah to know what I've been doing. That's how we try to do God. We out there doing all kind of stuff, getting what we want. But then when it's time to get close to God, now we want to, like, let me separate. I don't need Pastor Norm doing that on the weekend. Ain't gonna post that. Peter. I don't need him to know, because when I come in nothing, he might look me in my eyes. He might feel I've been doing something different. He might like, let me, y'all going back. Now I got it. I can carry it from here. Then he sent Naaman's servants back. He went back into the house, and Elijah asked him, where you been? What you been doing? I say that because sometimes when we don't come to church, Pastor T hit you with Ted. Where you been? What you been doing? You all right? Not every time, right? But he says, this ain't, where you been? Oh, nowhere, sir, he answered. But Elijah said, wasn't I there in the spirit? Y'all got to understand. That's what I'm saying. It ain't about where you go and what you do. It's about who you talking to. Stop playing with Jesus. Wasn't I there in the spirit when that man got out of his chariot to meet you? This is no time to accept money and clothes. You worried about the wrong thing. Olive groves and vineyards, sheep and cattle, or servant. Now Naaman's disease will come upon you And you and your descendants will have it forever.
Oh, okay.
The sin.
Jesus.
The sin. That God delivered this worldly man from. Jumped off the worldly man and jumped on the people that should have known God.
Amen.
Stop playing with them. Stop playing with them. You and your descendants will have it forever. When Gehazi left, he had the disease. His skin was as white as snow. Why? Because it's going to show. It could have been an internal disease. And he could have just kept playing it off as like, I'm good, I'm done. Right? He could have played it off. But God say when you walk like that, he marks you so that everybody else knows what you're doing. It's a smell to sin. It smell like something. It sound like something. It look like something. It feel like something. Whew. God is not for sale. You can't buy him. He's not in this. God is not in this for what he can get out of it. He got everything that he needs. He's in it because he loves you. He's in it because he loves you. Thank you, Lord.
Whew.
Lord, I thank you. Y'all come on, give the Lord a hand.